I'd like now to welcome to the program Ian Chaney. He's a filmmaker. His new documentary is called The City Dark, and it opens on Friday, the 10th of February, here at the CCA in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So this is a film about the extraordinary amount of light that we've put into the world over the last 100-plus years through electric light. How did you come to make this film?
Well, after moving to New York City, I came to feel that there was something really missing from my life, which is a surprising thing to feel when living in New York, because there's so much to do and see. But I came to realize that I was missing the stars, missing the night sky. I grew up something of an amateur astronomer, spending a lot of time in rural Maine. And that feeling set me wondering what it means that most of us now in the world, over half the world's population, live in cities, brightly lit cities, where we don't have any connection at all most nights to the night sky. And that launched this journey to understand how artificial light affects us and the rest of the species we share the planet with.
The film walks a really nice line between science and more what you might call humanistic perspectives on what is really, in so many cities, the disappearance or the virtual disappearance of the dark night. And one thing that was fascinating to me was, I mean, I've thought about this, and we've talked about this on the radio, when you spend time in nature, you kind of remember that human beings are not the center of the universe when you spend time in the forest and so on. And it's the same thing when you look at the night sky, that you can realize very quickly that you're a tiny part of the greater universe. Why do you think that's so important for us to experience?
It's true that it's tricky to put your finger on why exactly that kind of perspective is so important. I spoke to a number of people over the course of making the film, both on camera, folks I interviewed like Hayden Planetarium director Neil deGrasse Tyson and the co-author of the Cosmos series, Anne Druyan, and off-camera folks I would sit next to on the plane or train or bus and talk to about the meaning of the night sky. And in many ways, I think we all get something different out of what Neil deGrasse Tyson calls that cosmic perspective of realizing our place in the universe. For me, it's at once a reminder of how precious a planet we live on, how unique a place this is, and how foolish we would be to treat it with disregard. And it's also a reminder of how much there is to explore beyond this planet. So it really fires my imagination in exciting ways. And I think for educators and folks who are working with young people, they talk about the night sky as a source of inspiration that can lead kids into careers in science and into careers in astronomy, but also into careers in poetry and in the more, as you called it, humanistic realms. And I think that's very invigorating and exciting. And I think at the end of the day, it's hard to put a price tag on something like that.
Well, it's one of the things I really liked about your film is that it had a poetic quality to it, very much so in the way that you talk to people and in the way that you did the editing and filmmaking and cinematography. It's really quite a beautiful film. And, I mean, on the pure scientific level, I wanted to talk about, there were some things I learned that I had no idea about, and one of them is the connection between working through the night shift work, that and cancer, breast cancer, possibly other types of cancer. What's going on there?
Well, it was one of the more surprising things about making the film. I knew nothing about it when I set out to explore this topic, the idea that exposure to light at night could disrupt our circadian rhythm and essentially disrupt our internal systems to the extent that it weakens our natural defenses, and as a result could put us at increased risk of of certain cancers, like breast cancer and prostate cancers and maybe other diseases as well. And while this science is very much evolving in real time, new research is coming out all the time as these chronobiologists and epidemiologists start to understand what different intensities of light affect us and at what time of day and what color of light. It's also very intuitive, the idea that we, like many species on the planet, evolved for the most part for a long time with pretty regular cycles of light and dark, and it's only been very recently, extremely recently in an evolutionary sense, that we've disrupted those rhythms, and we spend a lot of time indoors in half-lit environments, and then at night, instead of being in total darkness, we tend to stay up late or even all night. And so it's in many ways not surprising that we're starting to see the idea emerge that we might be putting ourselves at increased health risks because of the way we light.
And it does make you wonder, and this isn't in the film, but I found myself wondering how have, because one of the questions that keeps coming up in the film is, how adaptable are we really? And so you think of people living in Scandinavia where it's almost dark almost all winter and light almost all summer, and how do their bodies respond to that? But to move on to another question about not people but animals, this was perhaps the most horrifying part of the film for me, and it's a very beautiful film, but the fact that the light of coastal cities is killing tens of thousands of sea turtles a year. What's going on there, and how does that happen?
Well, many species on the planet evolved to use certain signals from nature to proceed through the world, to mate, to hunt, to hide. And in the case of sea turtles, it seems to be the case that sea turtles evolved to find the sea when they hatch. When they hatch, they're tiny, you know, adorable, about the size of a fist, and they pop up out of the sand. And for years, their way of finding the ocean, which they need to find very quickly lest they become dehydrated or fall victim to predators or starve, their way of finding the sea was that it was the brightest horizon. It was starlit. And the shore would have been very extremely dark before artificial light. What's happening now is as coastal cities get brighter and as the sky over those cities gets brighter and brighter, it causes disorientation. And so a significant percentage of baby sea turtles have been essentially heading in the wrong direction, heading to Miami's nightclubs when they should be heading to the starlit seas. And that's on top of all of the other obstacles we're throwing at a species like sea turtles, problems with fishing and polluted waters and development along the beaches. So it's yet another example of the way in which a kind of evolutionary cycle and system has been disrupted in a way that they're struggling to adapt to.
We're talking to Ian Chaney about his documentary, The City Dark. You talk in the film about archetypal meanings of night and darkness versus light and day, and these concepts are imbued with spiritual and intellectual meanings, like the idea of enlightenment, seeing the light, things like that. And a century ago, probably nobody would have guessed that too much light might actually have negative consequences. And I have to say, you know, watching this film, I was thinking about how much I love going out at night and how much I love dancing late into the night at a club and things like that. And at the same time, sometimes I think we should just turn out all the lights at 9 o'clock and go to bed and live with the cycles of nature and so on. Most of us don't want to do that, even if it would be healthier. So there's no sort of clean right and wrong with this whole issue of what some might call light pollution.
Right. And that's in a way what has made it such a fascinating topic for a film. I mean, films are, I think, most interesting when it's not black and white and our issue of right or wrong when we can actually delve into some of the complexities of an issue like this. And, you know, you could think of it this way. What do we find so beautiful about a starry night sky? It's on the one hand, the fact that it's dark outside, but it's also that there's all these beautiful twinkling lights. And maybe that's one reason why I've come to feel a surprising affection for the New York City skyline. Few advocates of quote-unquote dark skies, and there's a wonderful organization called the International Dark Sky Association that has been pushing for smarter lighting. Few advocates would suggest that we need to turn off all of our lights. There's so much to be gained from light. We're a diurnal species after all, and there's a lot to be gained from evening entertainment and navigation and security and the rest of it. But there's also a tremendous amount of waste. An enormous amount of the light in our world just heads up into space or splashes where it needn't be. So we have this kind of awesome opportunity to bring back starry night skies, save a lot of energy, and maintain what is wonderful about the way we light our world.
How has making this film and thinking about these issues affected the way that you're living and seeing your own days and nights?
Yeah, well, I certainly have started sleeping with eye shades and installed blackout curtains over my Brooklyn windows. So clear had it become that light at night might not be doing me any favors, and I'm sleeping a lot better as a result. It's also made me realize that the night sky is very much a part of nature. It hasn't tended to be something that we define as being part of the quote-unquote environment, the stars, you know, the night sky. We haven't tended to fold that into the list of things like rivers and forests and oceans that we conserve. And yet, I've come to realize that part of nature is just as important, if not even more important, because it's so often overlooked, than the more traditional areas we've come to conserve. So it's made me seek out dark places and even in the city, seek out opportunities to lie on a rooftop and do a bit of stargazing with whatever stars we're lucky enough to see up there.
I have to say, I'm not an amateur astronomer by any means, and I only know a half a dozen constellations when I look at them, but I didn't know how well I knew the night sky and how oriented I was toward it until one time I went to South America and the night sky was completely different, and it messed with my head because there was a different sky above me, and I thought, wow, I guess unconsciously I know this sky better than I think.
Yeah. It's true. You could imagine what somebody 150 years ago, anybody, anywhere, would think stumbling into a modern city these days. The night sky for so long has been not only a source of stories and myths and mystery and inspiration for science, but it's been a fixture for how we orient ourselves on the planet. And I worry that this, that on top of all of that we're losing, we might just start to become a more downward-looking species. And on the one hand, there's a lot that needs to be paid attention to here on the planet and in our communities. But I worry what kind of solipsistic effect that might have if we suddenly forget our place in the cosmos and our place in the universe.
Ian Chaney is a filmmaker. His new documentary is called The City Dark, and it opens on Friday, February 10th at the CCA here in Santa Fe. Thank you so much, Ian, for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.